Welcome to Purple Politics Nevada. I'm your host, Lucia Starbuck. The name refers to the fact that the state isn't red or blue, it's both. Today, we're talking about the issues that matter most to Latinos, which make up more than a quarter of the state's population. I spoke with business owners, attended a Cinco de Mayo celebration, and learned about Get Out the Vote efforts. What I heard is that economic prosperity and immigration were their top concerns. And while Latino voters are committed to casting their ballots in November, what remains to be seen is who will earn their vote. That's a difficult decision for Reno resident Lilia Amador. She sells solar panels and water purification systems. She felt more comfortable speaking in Spanish, so KUNR's Vicky Adame translated the conversation. Hi, Lilia. Thank you so much for joining me. What issues are most important to you this election?
El primer tema sería lo más importante que siempre tenemos que considerar es votar, que es para mí lo más importante. Muchas personas no le dan real importancia al voto y creo que es el mejor derecho que tenemos y la mejor manera de ejercerlo es votando y eligiendo a nuestros representantes. El segundo tema sería pues buscar un candidato que nos represente realmente. Buscar a alguien que realmente se preocupe por nosotros como seres humanos, no como personas que nada más las necesitan para el voto.
The first issue and most important one is voting. Many people don't give voting the importance it deserves. It's the best right that we have, and the best way to exercise that right is by voting and choosing our representatives. The other issue would be finding a candidate who is truly going to represent us, who is concerned about us as human beings, not just as a person whose vote they need.
What are some of those needs you want candidates to address?
Uno muy importante para mí es los derechos, digamos, a los trabajadores. Yo pienso que debieran tomarse más la molestia de inspeccionar todos esos negocios que están abusando demasiado de los clientes, por un lado. Por otro lado, los derechos de la mujer, el respeto a la dignidad de la mujer, a la comunidad reproductiva.
Workers' rights are important, and they should take the time to inspect those businesses that are abusing customers. Women's rights, women's dignity, and reproductive rights also need to be addressed by candidates.
Working for a company that installs solar panels, is the environment a big issue for you?
Pienso que en nuestra actualidad es el tema más importante que debiéramos abordar, porque los cambios climáticos son muy, muy fuertes. Yo no soy una especialista en el tema ni nada que se le parezca. Sin embargo, sí te puedo decir que hay mucho daño ya en nuestras sociedades solo por los cambios climáticos. Y eso se debe a la gran, gran contaminación ambiental que hay.
In our reality, it's the most important issue we should address. I'm not an expert on the issues or anything close to it. However, there's a lot of damage to our society just because of climate change. And that's due to huge amounts of environmental contamination.
Are there any candidates you're excited to cast a ballot for this election?
No conozco algún candidato que tenga una propuesta como tal.
I'm not familiar with any candidate with a proposal as such.
Do you plan on voting in November?
100%. Todo el tiempo. Ejercido mi voto y lo seguiré haciendo.
100%. All the time. I exercise my right to vote and will keep doing it.
For Carson City resident Paula Loop, who immigrated from Argentina about 20 years ago and currently works as an HR director for a hotel company, she's made up her mind. I caught up with her after meeting her in 2022 on the first day of early voting for the June primary. Thank you so much for joining me, Paula. So we first met nearly 2 years ago. You mentioned your top issues were immigration and safety. Are those issues still top of mind for you?
They are. Definitely immigration now, it is definitely a top issue, 100%.
What do you want to see be done about immigration?
Me, myself, I've been here a little over 20 years. I did it, I'm going to say, the right way. I did my papers, paid fees, got my citizenship. I only had $140 in my pocket. And nowadays, I am a homeowner, I own vehicles, I went on vacation, so it could be done. And I'm not going to take the fact that some of them really needed to come and leave the situation where they were. But let's do it correctly. Let's put a process in place. I feel disrespected. It wasn't a one-day process. It took me a few years to become a citizen.
It's not a quick process. For example, I spoke to a woman who immigrated from Mexico. She's a citizen and has been trying to get her sibling's residency. and they've been in the queue since 2006. What are your thoughts on when you say to do immigration the right way when it's more difficult for people from different countries?
I'm on the same boat. My mom and my sister, 20 years I'm here, they haven't been able to come here. Twice they tried for a visa and it got rejected. So what I'll do is I just help them from here. There's, I'm going to say, policies and procedures in place for a reason. For every naturalized citizen, we bring 3 or 4 people. How is the system going to support them? We have a public system. We have hospitals. We have schools based on certain number of citizens or people that lives in the country.
We're a month away from the June primary. It's a presidential election year. Are you excited to cast your ballot for anyone in particular?
I will vote for Trump again, and I am excited. I live both presidencies, and I was better off before.
What do you like about Trump?
When Donald Trump was here, I did my taxes and I didn't have to pay on top of that. That was the first thing that it affected me directly, my pocket. So in 2022, I had to pay taxes because I owe the IRS. And now I did my taxes for 2023 and I also had to pay taxes. First time in 20 years of me doing taxes. And believe me, my salary didn't change that much. Went up maybe $2,000-$3,000. Let's talk about another thing that affected me directly, gas prices. As many Nevadans, I have a big truck because I had to drive on the snow. And oh my gosh, filling my tank before, it was maybe $60. And that was like, ooh, right now, never pay less than $130, $140.
Trump has pledged to deport undocumented people if he wins presidency. Do you have any concerns at all, even though you are a citizen, that you could be maybe mixed up in that if people get rounded up?
Once you become a citizen, that's it. There's no taking it back. Obviously, anything can change. One day, the president, any president can wake up and say, okay, everybody that is not a citizen is being deported. I have friends actually got their citizenship just because of that. Now, rounding out people and deporting them, no, that is not correct. This is what we did to ourselves. So the people that's already in here, I'm not saying go and deport them because I also know people that they have roots here. I'm not for rounding them up and sending them to whatever country they came from. I am for rounding them up and giving them the papers that they need to keep being in this country.
What contributes to you personally aligning more with the Republican Party?
My beliefs, no doubt. I believe that you have the right to protect your family, and this can get tricky. My priest is gonna kill me if he hears me saying that, but I think abortion shouldn't be yes or no. I think abortion should be, it depends on the case or the circumstances. And when I chose the Republican Party, that aligns more to my needs. We want hardworking people. There are hardworking Democrats, but again, it aligns more with my feelings of hardworking and not somebody that wants to sit on a couch and wait for welfare.
Why is voting so important to you?
Because I can express my opinion. And if I like something, I have the power to change it. And that's why I decided I want to become a citizen to vote. All the Hispanic people that I know that they vote, they will go every time that is an opportunity to vote.
At the beginning of the month, Carson City had its inaugural Cinco de Mayo celebration. That's where I met 24-year-old Renee Ruiz, who works at a bank. What issues are most important to you this election?
My most important is just the people that just care about this country in general. I don't care who you believe in or not, as long as it's not for racist reasons. And I especially feel this election coming up is more like us voting for the lesser of two evils. And I don't like that.
Who do you think is the lesser of two evils?
Don't know at this point.
Have you always voted?
Actually, no. I had a chance to vote last election, but didn't really know who to vote on either. So I just chose not to. I chose to stay neutral at that point.
What are some issues you see in Carson City that you'd like to see addressed?
Literally what everywhere else is feeling, inflation. I just had a daughter. She's a little over a year old. I know when my mom, $100 would fill up her basket, I don't even get half a grocery cart anymore. Formula is over $20 a can. Diapers is just, as a new father, I'm scared about what my daughter's going to go through in 20 years.
Do you feel heard by candidates and politicians?
Honestly, no, I don't feel heard. That they go after their own agenda, every single one of them.
What can candidates do to earn your vote in November?
Think about me and my family. My daughter and my wife are my priority. Think about what we're going through, and that's it.
In Reno, a campaign sign hangs in the window of a salon for Miguel Martinez, who's running for Reno City Council after being appointed. Ana Gallardo, who owns Genesis Beauty Salon, felt more comfortable speaking in Spanish. The client whose hair she was cutting, Miguel Reyna, translated for us.
How can lawmakers support you as a business owner?
Como económico que le ayuden a uno para sobre para
préstamos.
Ajá, exacto.
Loans, money loans.
Will you be voting in November?
Sí. Yes.
How would you feel about Donald Trump or Joe Biden?
Oh my God, es difícil con cuestión.
How can candidates earn your vote this election? What do they need to do?
Que nos apoyaran a todos.
If they support all of us.
That was Miguel Reyna translating for Ana Gallardo at her salon in Reno. Earlier, you heard from Lilia Amador, Paula Loop, and Renee Ruiz. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you're listening to Purple Politics Nevada. Let's talk about the importance of the Latino vote. The nonprofit Latino Community Foundation in California gave organizations in three states, including Nevada, a total of $800,000 to mobilize Latino voters. I spoke to the nonprofit's CEO and former HUD Secretary, Julian Castro, to learn more. Thank you so much for joining me, Julian. Why is the Latino vote important this election and in Nevada in particular?
The Latino vote is going to be crucial to helping determine who wins the presidency, especially because Latinos are such a big part of the voting population in Nevada and in Arizona, two battleground states that are going to be hotly contested in November. And also when it comes to control of Congress, so Latinos are right at the crux, right at the intersection of what happens in this election.
The foundation gave a grant to Make the Road Nevada, which has a strong presence in Las Vegas. However, sometimes Northern Nevada feels a little bit forgotten. So what needs to be done to get Latinos to the polls outside of Las Vegas in Reno or rural Nevada?
A couple of years ago, when I was on the road running myself, I used to tell people that my two favorite places to go were Northern Nevada and Northern Arizona. I loved going through the Reno, Carson City area. And then also we went to smaller communities like West Wendover. Anytime you're in smaller communities, more rural communities, I think you have both advantages and some disadvantages that you got to overcome. Advantages, often people know each other. There's still this more of a sense of community. If you can tap into that and get neighbors to encourage their neighbors to go vote, talk about it in all of the places where they shop, where they go to church, whatever it is, in small communities, that really can help drive out people to go vote. At the same time, you're often dealing with places that don't have the same media saturation. We just finished doing polling of 400 Latinos and Latinas in Nevada, 400 in Arizona, and 400 in California. What we found was that overwhelmingly, voters there cite cost of living and jobs in the economy, and also housing costs as their top concerns. They're wondering what these candidates are going to do to address these issues. That's what you have to address in order to mobilize people to go vote.
Something I found super interesting about the poll is for Latinos that were surveyed in Nevada, it said that they were favorable of Nevada's two Democratic senators, President Joe Biden, but they were also favorable of Republican Governor Joe Lombardo. What does that tell you?
The community can't just be pigeonholed. Generally, it's a community that has voted Democratic, but I come from Texas. When George W. Bush was a governor that had a reputation of reaching across the aisle and a position on issues like immigration, education that was seen as more of a compromise. For a Republican, he was fairly popular at that time with Latino voters. I don't know enough about right now the internal politics of the governor there in Nevada to make that judgment. I would just say, I think what it shows is that Latinos are following the individual actions of politicians or public officials, and you can't completely make assumptions about the community one way or another.
Do you think Latino voters feel heard by candidates?
Latino voters, probably like all sorts of other voters, sometimes they're disillusioned. They feel like people don't keep their promises. It wouldn't be America without the kind of healthy skepticism or sometimes even cynicism that voters of every stripe have toward our elected officials. And having been on the other side of that, sometimes that's frustrating for the policymakers because a lot of times you feel like there's so much that's done that doesn't get the attention that it should. It's true that progress never happens as quickly as we would like it to, especially when you're talking about the federal government. But ultimately, it's also having a say in that process, in the policy that comes out of Washington, in the policy that comes out of Carson City, the Reno City Hall, or the school boards. All of that is vital to meeting the needs of the Latino community and of all Nevadans.
A majority of West Wendover, a rural town that sits on the Nevada-Utah border, is Latino. The person who was crucial in organizing Castro's presidential campaign stop in West Wendover was the mayor at the time, Daniel Corona. He was the state's youngest and first openly gay and Latino mayor. Now he works for Biden's campaign.
Thank you so much for joining me, Daniel. What are the issues that are most important to rural Latino voters?
First of all, the issue that is of most importance to rural voters in general, but especially Latino voters, is healthcare. A lot of our rural communities don't have any access to healthcare whatsoever. For example, West Wendover, the closest emergency room is 120 miles away in Salt Lake City. There is a very good local EMS company that does a very good job at getting folks to Salt Lake City, but that's also an expense that many families can't afford. In West Wendover, there's high levels of poverty. Many folks can't afford to take a day off of work to take their kids into Salt Lake when they get sick. You have to factor in gas. It's an hour and a half drive each way, so you're going to have to factor in at least one meal. It's not just the cost of the medical visit that is burdening families in the rural communities. It's also the added expense of the travel.
What are some solutions you would like to see from lawmakers when it comes to healthcare?
So when I was growing up as a kid in West Wendover, we always had a doctor. They were immigrant doctors. They came to the U.S. through a visa program that no longer exists to get more doctors, primarily in rural communities. And I think that's a real opportunity to bring that program back. And then also making sure that we're funding our federally qualified health centers so that they can keep their rural clinics and hospitals open. Our rural communities, and especially our Latino communities, are relying on those services.
What is the Biden campaign doing to reach Latino voters, specifically in rural Nevada?
We just opened two offices in rural Nevada, one in Minden and one in Carson City. We're currently working on a trip to Elko County to meet with folks in West Wendover, folks in Elko, and maybe even Winnemucca. We're already identifying Latino stakeholders in those communities to meet with. We know that early engagement is important, and not just show up and ask for a vote right before the election. We want to build these relationships in a meaningful way so that they last long term, so that the Latino vote isn't just turning out this election, but so that we're turning out the Latino vote for elections to come.
Why is the Latino vote important?
The Trump campaign is using Latinos as a boogeyman. He is fear-mongering with immigrants. He's saying that immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. He calls Mexicans murderers and rapists. This is a man who is using hate against our community to drive his vote. So Latinos need to show up. Trump is making no secret that if he is elected, he's going to come after Latinos. The Latinos need to stand up, especially this election, and use their power. Our vote is important, and people are trying to take that away.
How do you feel when Trump says those things?
Disgusted. My great-grandparents immigrated here from Mexico. My grandfather was born in Ruth, Nevada, in a small mining community. He grew up in a time where there was a lot of racism in this country, and it wasn't okay to be Latino in this country. Throughout his life, he faced a lot of discrimination and racism. He passed on some internalized racism to his own kids. He didn't pass along Spanish, for example, because he grew up in a time where if you spoke Spanish in school, your teacher would hit you. That's what we risk going back to.
What issues are most important to you personally as a voter?
I grew up in a family of women. Roe v. Wade being overturned is a big reason that I left my corporate job to get back into politics and work on a political campaign. My sisters now have less rights than my mom had, than my grandmother had for the majority of her life.
So that issue was what pushed you to get back fully into politics.
And then also the civility. I served as mayor during a time when Trump was president, and I personally saw the hate and discord that he caused. I personally received threats and hateful messages. That was part of what drove me out of politics. I don't want my nieces and nephews to grow up in a country where hate and that vitriol is normalized and okay. The fact that the leading candidate from the Republican Party is using language that echoes back to the Holocaust is terrifying. The Supreme Court, for the first time in a really long time, took rights away from people. They want to come after gay marriage. They want to go after interracial marriage. So that's what drove me back. Everything is on the line.
In Reno, I sat around a kitchen table with five community members who wanted to share their thoughts on the election.
They are looking for honest candidates with solutions. Next, you'll hear from Rosanna Bertoni-Lopi, Jeanette Cayo Diles, Monica Peterson, Esvaldo Jimenez Estupiñan, and Claudia Ortega Lucas. Thank you so much for joining me. To open it up, what issues are most important to you all this election? Claudia, what are your thoughts?
It's hard to know which one is the most important. One of the things I care about is immigration. You see a lot of Latinx and Hispanic people here in this city and the state. And then you see how they don't have everything that they need in order to succeed. And a lot of it is because of immigration policies. At the university, we have a lot of students, DACA students, for example, and it's really hard and it's very sad to see them stress out because they don't know what the future will bring. That right there is something that I would like to see it fixed to where like they can be embraced, they can be accepted, they can give legal documentation so that they can just proceed with their careers, with their studies, and be productive.
Monica, you've been nodding, and what are your thoughts?
One of the things that really upsets me sometimes is the immigration process. I have heard so many people saying anybody that wants to come to the country should do it the legal way. And I hear that so many times. I came to this country when I married my husband 25 years ago. I did not become a citizen right away. So I got married in 98, became a citizen in 2006. As soon as I became a citizen, I applied for my family to come. First for my parents. They became residents pretty much immediately. I didn't want my parents to have to be subject to an immigration officer to tell them, okay, show me your ticket to show me that you're going to go back to Mexico. I didn't want my parents to go through that. They didn't speak the language. So I did the same for my brother that was a comptroller in Mexico. And I applied for my sister. Her husband is actually a business owner. And that was back in 2006. And they're still in the queue.
Thinking back to my life and my family and everything, because I had the opportunity, or I guess I'm lucky in that sense that I was born here in the United States, but all of my family, my older sisters, they were born in Mexico. The only reason that my parents have their visas is because they were here during the last amnesty that passed through in the United States. Yeah, it was a while ago.
Well, long ago. Huh?
Yeah. After that, my parents started the cleaning business. And then when I was in high school, we started like building it up more, doing more things. But they were able to do that because they got the visa, right, through the amnesty.
Rosanna, what would you like to see from candidates?
I am very sad about the situation of our politics. I'm going to vote, I don't know in who. We will always have problems, obviously. But the lack of compromise between the political, parties. Our political representatives in every single level is what makes things impossible to be resolved. Like immigration, there are so many other things I'm not happy about that I would like to really see an improvement. Like more locally, our urban planning, our homeless people, our infrastructures, the situation of even having homeowner insurance, of being able to have affordable housing. I am ashamed to say that I have been avoiding politics. It's just painful, almost physically painful.
Yes, it is.
It depresses you. I'm not partisan. So trying to get that party thing from the way and give me the freedom to vote in who I want. But what I found difficult is to trust because people are not delivering the way I wish.
What are your thoughts, Jeanette?
Unfortunately, we're in the situation that we have to vote for the one that
is less bad.
Is going to do the less
damage,
harm, damage mm-hmm. to the country. And yeah. I've done that for Peru, and it doesn't feel good. And now I'm in that corner, you
Again.
Know, that who do I vote to, you know?
How can candidates earn your vote?
Solutions that are going to work, not just promises. In campaign, they just promise, and at the end, there's very little what they do. Solutions for everybody, not for only their own people.
I want honesty. I think that still honesty. Prevails. I want a clean where for you to show that you are the best candidate, you don't have to put anybody down. Exactly. Regardless of what party, I don't care. Respectful, because I think that politicians forget that when they are being disrespectful with the other candidate, they are being disrespectful to us. If you are having to put another candidate down, it's because you don't have nothing to bring.
Monica, what do you think?
And Roxana, honesty, which is really hard to find out. Once you start making them be accountable and looking at what they're doing through when they actually take power, then it's really hard to, oh my God, what happened to all what they said? Stop the lies. And just, that brainwashing that they use when they're running for office, it's just awful. Here's something that I actually kind of like laugh. There was this candidate that said, I'm going to finish building the wall and I'm going to finish the cartels. And that was it. That was the whole advertisement. Stop using the hate. The young people, the next generations are watching. They're listening. Mm-hmm. What are they learning?
Osvaldo, what's on your mind?
I need someone that's here for more than just pretty words and good wishes, because we can all do that. Really, it's about what the action is after that. In different avenues too, like not just focusing on immigration, not just focusing on these specific like hate points or topics that we know maybe are just more controversial, but just actually focusing on the different avenues. How do we make it easier for people to open businesses, to get housing, and especially right now with the cost of living, talking about more than just like what will get them the votes or what will get them the TV time.
Claudia.
Be transparent, be responsible, realize that we'll want to move the state and the city and the country forward, but also realize that there's only so much that one person can do. Don't be afraid to say, you know, we're going to go after these three things or these five things, and we're going to do them well. And this is how we're going to get them done. And don't be afraid to say, you know, I made a mistake, or I thought that this was a really good idea, but it's not. And so I'm going to pivot. Tell me what you are going to do. Give me the specifics, and don't just tell me that the other candidate is bad or to speak bad of other people, because I am tired and I don't listen to you anymore.
You just heard from Rosanna Bartani-Lopi, Jeanette Cayo Diles, Monica Peterson, Osvaldo Jimenez Estupiñan, and Claudia Ortega Lucas. Earlier in the show, you listened to Lilia Amador, Paula Loop, Renee Ruiz, Ana Gallardo, Julian Castro, and Daniel Corona. I'm Lucia Starbuck, and you've been listening to Purple Politics Nevada.